thank you, and Lord, we do praise you, and truly, you have given us the breath of life. Lord, how amazing, how good you are. Lord, as we gather together as a congregation, as the body of Christ, as your body, Lord, we just seek to hear from you. Lord, we desire to hear a word from our God and Savior, our Shepherd. Lord, I pray that you would touch our hearts, Lord, that whatever it is that we came in here with, Lord, heavy weights, concerns, Lord, anxiety, things of the world, Lord, that all those things would just drop by the wayside, Lord, as we come into your presence and worship you and learn from you. Lord, may your word have your way with us, Lord. May your word change us. May your word encourage us. May your word build us up, Lord. And Lord, we're needed. May your word tear us down. Lord, we love you, and Lord, we're here, Lord, to learn from you, to worship you, to fellowship with you. So we ask, may you pour down your spirit upon this place. May you speak to us through your spirit, Lord. May it not be man's word. May it be words from our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ, through your Holy Spirit. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen. Good morning, church. No snow. Did you? Wow. Well, here we're going to have snow for Christmas, so that's nice. We can all stay home and worship the Lord and have our Christmas meals with our family. Hey, I just wanted to touch up a little bit on what Jimmy was talking about. The Adult and Teen Challenge, just for clarification, he didn't mention that. But if the Lord moves in your heart, if the Lord's moving in your heart to bless these men, that they've struggled with things in their lives, as we all have, and some more than others, that you would do so by wrapping up a gift, like he said, all those instructions and so forth. And the other thing is, if the Lord moves in your heart to go and drop them off as well, we're going to do that on December the 24th in the morning, and Don is going to be heading that up, so you can contact him, talk to him, or you can call me as well, and certainly, you know, you can join us, and we can go out there and just bless these men. You know, I think about these men that are there, my heart really is heavy, and I love these men. I so love these men. I know they're struggling. I know it's hard, but you know what? They made it a point and says, man, we can't do it on our own. We need Jesus. And I know that I need to be here because I need Jesus. And as you see them grow, and yeah, some fall out of the program, others, you know, there's those things. But listen, those that stay there and that they get plugged into a church, it's amazing. God does amazing things with broken people. Amen? All right. Hey, break out your Bibles or your phones. Normally we want to say phones, right? We want to turn them off, but not in today's day. And we are on Acts chapter 13. Acts chapter 13. If you don't have a Bible, you can raise your hand and someone will get one to you. All right. God's word is so rich and it's so good. We sort of left off once again in a little bit off section there, right in the middle of Paul preaching, and they ask him to come back the following Sabbath. So we're going to back up a little bit, even though we are in verse 44. We're going to back up to verse 42. And I will ask you to stand with me for the reading of God's word, to honor his word. Amen? So when the Jews went out of the synagogue, the Gentiles begged that these words might be preached to them the next Sabbath. Man, what a word. They're like, we want some more of God's word. Now, when the congregation had broken up, many of the Jews and devout proselytes followed Paul and Barnabas, who, speaking to them, persuaded them to continue in the grace of God. On the next Sabbath, almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy, and contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the thing spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, "It was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first. But since you reject it and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles." You may be seated. So remember with me where we're at in Scripture. This is Paul's first missionary journey. Paul has gathered a team. It really started out Barnabas and Saul, and now it's turned to Paul, the Greek name for Saul. And as we have read together and learned together, Antioch of Syria is where the church was gathered, Gentiles and Jews together, and that was their launching pad. So if we have the map up here, we see that they started off in Antioch. They went ahead and sailed over to Cyprus. And there, if you remember with me, Bar-Jesus, this sorcerer and so forth, he was trying to lead the proconsul away from the word of God. And we had those events. They went to Paphos. And then from there, they went up north and landed in Perga. In Perga, John Mark jumped ship. John Mark bailed and went back home to Jerusalem. So they lost that member of their team. And they made their way up to Pisidia, Antioch, and Pisidia, which is that whole region is Galatia. And as we read through the book of Acts, I would encourage you, read the letter that Paul wrote to that region as we're going through that section. Because on here, as we see what's going on, the letter to the Galatians makes so much more sense. Paul had been preaching, hey, listen, guys, the whole entirety of Scripture, in the volume of the books, it is written to me, Jesus said, the Old Testament, but to them, that was just the Bible at that time. To us, now it's the Old Testament. It all points to Jesus. It all points to Jesus. He's like, I got good news, man. The Messiah spoken of in the Scriptures, he came. And listen, the law of Moses will not justify. The law of Moses cannot save you of your sins, cannot wash away your sins. He said, but Jesus can. All those who believe are justified in him. He was preaching a good message, was he not? Man, he was saying, you can be born again, all your sins forgiven. So he's there at the synagogue. And as always, the word of God has an effect on people. For some, it separates them this way, for some, the other way. You know, so it had an effect on them. That's sort of where we picked up this morning. You know, some, they said, wow, we've never heard this. And listen, do you guys know when you hear the Word of God has an effect in our hearts. And as whether you're reading it or somebody is reading it to you or pastor's going through the Scriptures or you're listening online or something, and you hear the Word of God and it's like, man, you're filled with joy. Sometimes we're filled with conviction. And other times we're just like, man, Lord, you are so good. And they were excited. They're like, Paul, come back next week, next Sabbath, man. We need to have you here. We need more people to hear this incredible news. Will you come back? But the Jews said, no, not quite sure, you know? And that's sort of where we left off. There's a little bit of a separation. So that's where we pick up this morning. We pick up Paul coming back on the next Sabbath, just like you guys came back on Sunday, not the Sabbath, not Saturday. And just a quick point on that. Listen, the reason why we worship on Sunday is because as we read through the book of Acts, we see that it's the first day of the week that the new church, the Christians started worshiping on. And it is any day of the week is great. In fact, every day of the week we should be worshiping God. But the reason for it is also that Jesus rose on the first day of the week. That's the reason why we meet. But listen, you want to gather on Saturday, Sunday, Monday, you know, every one of those days that ends with Y, that's a good thing. So don't let those things get to you. So that's where we're at. They come back together on the next Sabbath. Almost the whole city came together to hear the word of God. Hey, I want you guys to think about this. Can you imagine all of us, Takeda, almost the whole city coming together all of a sudden to this area They're just piling in. The word has gotten out. Man, there's some good news. The word has gotten out. And the whole city, man, they're like, we want to hear. We want to know. What is this message? And they come together to hear the word of God. How awesome. How incredible. God was using Paul and Barnabas incredibly in the city of Antioch. Hey, listen, God wants to use you here incredibly in the city of Estacada or Eagle Creek or Gresham or wherever it is that you're coming from. God wants to use you as well. Just like he used Paul and Barnabas. He does that. He still does that, guys. You know? And us gathering here today, this is just a testimony of that. God is moving. Where there's those that desire to preach God's word, where there are those that desire to seek God, man, God does incredible things. People come to know the Lord, they're freed. Man, people that were once depressed and anxiety and this and so forth, you come and you see them, they're full of joy of the Lord, newness of life. And listen, we don't always walk that way, right? We have our downs and ups and so forth. But that should be, the down should be the exception. Why? Because we're filled with the Spirit of God. And he loves us, man. And God is our Father. And let me tell you, Almighty God loves you and loves me. And we're heaven bound because of the blood of Jesus Christ. It's good news, man. It's good news. And that's the news they want to hear. And it's causing a stir. And it was a time of celebration. People were repenting and turning to God. But there are always those that can't stand to see someone being used of God. There are always those that look at men instead of the work of God and say, you know what? I don't like that. There are those that don't have the right heart. There are those that say, yeah, you know what? I want to get the attention. How come that didn't work out for me? There are always those pointing the fingers, and they're going to want to divide, and they're going to start backbiting, and you know they're going to start gossiping and saying, hey, don't listen to him. And as they're spreading the word here and spreading the word there, gossiping, it does a lot of harm. So take a look at verse 45, what it says. But when the Jews saw the multitudes, they were filled with envy. Now, that's not good news. I want to be filled with the Holy Spirit. They were filled with envy. And contradicting and blaspheming. They opposed the things spoken by Paul. Then Paul and Barnabas grew bold and said, it was necessary that the word of God should be spoken to you first, but since you reject it and judge yourself unworthy of everlasting life, behold, we turn to the Gentiles. Envy. Definition for envy is wanting what someone else has and resenting them for it, for having it. Envy. The Word of God says that the Jewish leadership turned Jesus over because of envy. They were envious of Jesus. And listen, those that are envious want to tear others down. They can't stand to see that. It's incredible. It's incredible the nature of man. The Jewish leaders were envious of Paul and Barnabas. The crowds had never come out like that for them. They see the city moving, coming together, and they say, well, they never did that for us. We're here. Hey, we're teaching the Bible, too, or we're doing this. But God was using Paul and Barnabas, and they brought the message of Jesus Christ. And now the whole city is there, and they're envious, and envy makes us deaf to the gospel of Jesus Christ. Makes us deaf to the good news. And their envy also made them blind to the love of God. Listen, they were filled with envy, and that didn't allow them to see the love of God for them. This incredible gift, this incredible work that God wanted to do in their lives. Because they were filled with envy, they couldn't be filled with the Holy Spirit. That's what God wanted to do. He wanted to fill them with the Holy Spirit. And take out that envy and that bitterness and all these things and do away with them and fill them with his love and his grace and his mercy and his patience. Man, such a good deal. But people reject this. The Proverbs say, Proverbs 14:30 says, a sound heart is life to the body, but envy is rottenness to the bones. So Paul tells them, it was necessary that the word of God came to you first. To the Jew first, right? That's what the word of God says. They said it was necessary. I had to come and preach the word of God to you first. You have this privilege, this honor, but since you don't want it, since you reject it, the Gentiles are next in line and I will go to them. Listen, many reject the word of God. They hear the word of God and it's like, I don't want it. And God says, man, you have the privilege of hearing the word of God, salvation, good news, change you forever, for eternity. And some will reject it. So the Jewish sect, the synagogue, those of the law, the leadership. When it says the Jews here is capitalized, it speaks of the leadership of the synagogue there. They rejected it. And listen to what it says. Verse 47 says, for so the Lord has commanded us, I have set you as a light to the Gentiles, that you should be for salvation to the ends of the earth. Not just Jerusalem. Not just Judea, not just Samaria, but to the ends of the earth. God's word is light. Man, it's meant to go out to the whole world. So the whole world hears. Listen, I like, I was watching a show the other day with one of the brothers here, and man, I love what they said. They said that the world must know. Listen, the world must know. Do you believe that? That the world must know about Jesus, this incredible message, this incredible Savior that loves you. Regardless of who you are, he says, my doors are open. You can come to me. I'll forgive you of your sins. I'll wash away all the filth and all the dirt, and I will give you a new life. I will bring you into the family of God, and I'll give you eternal life. In heaven is secure. There's a reservation in heaven for you. What love, what grace, what mercy. Man, that is good news. 48, and when the Gentiles heard this, they were glad. They said, it's not just for the Jews. They were glad. And what did they do? They glorified the word of the Lord. And as many as had been appointed to eternal life believed. Now listen, if we park here, we could spend a whole lot of time here. This is one of these things, these points that has unnecessarily separated the church for hundreds of years. Now for me, I find that sad and I find it ridiculous. This is one of those points that people say, I'm at this camp, I'm with Paul. And I'm with Cephas. And they divide over this. They divide. Are we chosen or do we choose? And when we read everything that we read, we see that God teaches both, just in this little section. And the whole Bible teaches both. So the question, are we chosen or do we choose? The answer, yes. That's the answer. C.H. Spurgeon was once asked if he could reconcile these two truths to each other, you know what he said? He says, he replied, I never reconcile friends. People are constantly trying to make these two truths enemies. Always. And this debate has gone on for hundreds of years in the church. But listen, the divine sovereignty and human responsibilities are not enemies. Human responsibility and God's sovereignty, they're not enemies. They're not opposed. God chooses me and I choose him. Listen, I chose my wife and she chose me back. It's not that complicated. And this is what I tell people. Because people will get on this hobby horse, this theological point, and start throwing out verses and so forth, and And listen, we probably all heard them all. And they say, no, this and that and so forth, it means saved. And unfortunately, a lot of the times when people say, like, I was chosen, and in essence, they may not be living their life that well. The Bible teaches also of the perseverance of the faith. And they said, I'm chosen. And when people ask me this, what I just say is, listen, stay close to Jesus. You don't have to worry about it. You stay close to Jesus, and it doesn't matter. You're walking with the Lord. We should just be grateful and just joyful that we're saved. And the Bible says, hey, he who comes to him, he will in no way turn away. The Bible says that God's so loved, for he so loved the whole world, that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him, shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Has God chosen me? Yes. I'm so grateful. Have I chosen God? Yes. So listen, rejoice in that. Rejoice in that. So what happens? Verse 49, check this out. And the word of the Lord was being spread throughout all the region. Man, that's awesome. They're preaching the word. Here they are, new region, new area. They're up here in this lower parts of Galatia, and here they are. And the word goes out, man. The word goes out mightily throughout the whole region. But there's always that but, right? But the Jews stirred up the devout and prominent women and the chief men of the city, raised up persecution against Paul and Barnabas, and expelled them from the region. You know, it reminds me when Jesus came on over to the Gadarenes, and there was this demon-possessed man, and what does he do? He comes and he sets him free. He sets him free. He gives him liberty. He sets the captives free. He casts out this legion of demons, and he sends them over on these pigs, and these pigs, instead of being possessed, even pigs know that they don't want to be possessed with demons, with the enemy, they run into the side of the cliff and into the ocean. And the people said, yeah. No, they didn't say that, right? They didn't say, wow, this man is free. This man is no longer bound. What they said is, hey, leave. You're messing with our business. You're ruining the commerce here. Leave. And Jesus, as a gentleman, left. You guys know God is a gentleman. Listen, if you don't want him, he will not force himself upon you. He extends his hand to us and says, hey, come to me. That's what they did here. They hear the word of God. They see what's going on. People are being saved. They're turning their lives over to God. They're repenting of all this idol worship, all these other things and so forth, coming to the Lord, and they say, nope. Get out of here. So what does Paul and Barnabas and the team do? They do exactly what Jesus told them to do. In Matthew 10, look at verse 51. He says, but they shook up the dust from their feet against them, and they came to Iconium. And the disciples were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Wow, that's a good verse right there. Listen, Paul and Barnabas were kicked out. The team was kicked out of the region. And they did exactly what Jesus told them to do. It says, hey, whoever does not receive you nor hear my words, Jesus said in Matthew 10, 14, when you depart from that house or that city, shake off the dust from your feet. So, they're in Iconium. And what did the disciples say? It says there that they were filled with sadness and grief, and they're like, oh, bummer. Man, you know what happened over there? No, they didn't say that, right? It says that they were filled with joy and with the Holy Spirit. Why were they filled with joy and the Holy Spirit? New ground, new place. They can teach the Word of God. They can preach Jesus to them. They're filled with joy in the Holy Spirit. They were excited. And listen, guys, don't miss that word there. Disciples. Disciples. Listen, the definition of a disciple is a follower of Jesus Christ, a pupil. It's not a fan. It's not part of a crowd. It's not those that just go and attend when it's convenient and so forth. A disciple, born-again believer, a disciple of Jesus Christ, is someone who follows his Lord. And they were filled with joy. Why? Because they saw another opportunity to share the word of God. They were excited. Hey, are you guys excited to share the gospel? You're like, no, Pastor, I'm terrified. I'm not afraid of a whole lot of things, but as soon as I get to that point, my hands start shaking, my knees start going. Isn't it interesting that that happens when my neighbors across the street, man, they're into outreach. They're always outreaching. They're always reaching out to me. Hey, come, let me come and have a beer with us. Come and play this and so forth. They're really good at outreach. You know, there's others that they have no problem sharing any other beliefs and so forth and crazy, nothing. No problem. But Jesus, you mention Jesus and all of a sudden it all changes. You know why? You enter the spiritual realm. You enter the spiritual realm. You start sharing. When that opportunity comes and when the Holy Spirit just knocks on your or taps your shoulder and says, hey, listen, tell him. You're like, and listen, all he's asking you is to open up your mouth. God says, his word says he'll fill it. There should be joy for us to share. And this is what happens when we do it, when we're obedient. And you say, look, I don't have the gift of evangelism. Might be true. You don't have the gift of evangelism. That's okay. However, we're all called to share. The results are up to Jesus. They're up to God. We're just called to share. And what we're doing is we're sharing those things that we believe. That work that God has done in us, we're just sharing. And what happens when we are obedient to share, all of a sudden we start finding that, yeah, there may be a little bit of intimidation, a little bit of fear, but all of a sudden there's a joy and there's excitement. And you see the result of God's word in the life of those people that you were bold enough to speak. Listen, someone was bold enough to speak the word of God to you. They were excited. God has not called us to be fans. God has called us to follow him. He has called us to so much more. A reality of God in our lives. And listen, when we do that, sometimes we're fearful of things, how things will change. Oh, man, it's joy. As we walk in obedience with God, he just fills us. He just fills us. The enemy tells you, no, don't listen to the enemy. Listen to God. All right, let's take a look at chapter 14. I was planning to finish chapter 14, but looking at the clock, we'll see how far we get. Verse 1. Now the disciples are in Iconium. Take just for reference, remember that. Verse 1 says, now it happened in Iconium where they went together to the synagogue of the Jews. Paul, again, the Jews, don't you learn your lesson? No, that's Paul's M.O. He's going to go to his people. He loves his people. In fact, in Romans, he says, man, I wish I would be a curse if my people would be saved. I would give up my salvation. That's the love that he had for them. So he goes to the synagogue of the Jews and so spoke to a great multitude, but the Jews and of the Greeks believed. But unbelieving Jews stirred up the Gentiles. There we go again. And what did they do? They poison their minds against the brethren. Hey, has this happened to you? Listen, maybe you're a new believer. Maybe this is fresh in your mind. Or maybe you can think back of when you came to know the Lord. And this is a constant thing. It happens more when you come to know the Lord. But there are those, the enemy will use those as a mouthpiece to poison your mind. There'll be those that mock you. There'll be those that say, look, what do you believe that nonsense? The enemy is using those as a mouthpiece, always trying to oppose the work of God in your life and in the life of others. That's what he does. That's his nature. So they said, forget it. This is too hard. We're just going to go back home. Is that what the Bible says? Is that where you're at? No, right? Just embolden them. Embolden the team. And in the face of opposition, they didn't shrink back, but they pressed forward. Take a look at verse 3. Therefore, they stayed there a long time. Man, the Lord's working here. Yeah, there's oppositions and there are those. People are coming to know the Lord, but man, the enemy is working here. He's trying to take that seed of the Word of God, as Jesus spoke of. And they're like, no, we need to stay here. We need to stay here and we need to feed the flock. We need to make sure that they understand the Word of God, the security and salvation. We need to make sure that they're strengthened. Listen, faith comes by hearing and hearing the Word of God. So they stayed. They pressed forward in the face of opposition. And God was with them. God was with them, granting miracles along the way as a witness to His Word and His grace. Listen, it says, speaking boldly in the Lord, who was bearing witness to the word of His grace, granting signs. What does a sign do? What does the sign in the front here of the building tell people? So there's a church here. It's pointing somewhere, right? It's pointing somewhere. Signs and wonders to be done by their hands. So listen, Jesus told them, go preach the word. And look, the signs and wonders will follow that as a confirmation that you're teaching the Word of God. Unfortunately, some people get it backwards. They want to follow signs and wonders, and that is a shallow faith. You follow the Word of God, and you see these miracles happen. And listen, God still does miracles. We wish that sometimes that it was more and so forth, but He's sovereign. And He's all-knowing. One of the things that when you read your Bible, one of the things that you will notice there is that oftentimes miracles that are done to unbelievers. Why? That they may know the power of God. You and I are saved. We know where we're going. We're heaven-bound. Paul will later pray in Corinthians. He says, right, in 2 Corinthians, he says, hey listen, and he speaks, I believe, of the event we're about to read, that, man, he was left for dead, that he was taken unto the third heaven. He was taken away, and he had visions and this incredible revelation of God. And then he speaks of the thorn of the in the flesh, weakness. He was physically ill. And he prayed, and he prayed, and he prayed, and he said, Lord, take it away. And God says, my grace is sufficient, for my power is made perfect in your weakness. We don't know. God knows. We can just trust in Him, that He has the best for us. Listen, some may be suffering and may be of that character that as soon as something goes well, they're like right back at it. Success oftentimes ruins worse than failure or difficulties. I don't know, but God knows, and we trust in Him. So He granted miracles along the way as a witness to His word and His grace. You know, the other thing is, I wonder sometimes why it's so hard for people to receive and accept the grace of God. They say, this is too easy. What do you mean? This guy could have done so forth, or this person, and all of a sudden you just say, yes, I believe, and it's that's it? It's done? It's too easy. I don't believe that. I believe you have to pay, and I believe you have to earn, you have to show, you have to make atonement. You got to work yourself up to it, and then maybe God then... Maybe He'll say, well, okay, you did a lot of bad things, but You did some good things. That's not our God. The new covenant is the covenant of grace. When we come to God, when we come to the cross of Jesus Christ, and we see that He hung there on that cross, we realize that that payment, that blood, that suffering that was shed, that blood that was shed, that suffering that He went through, was for you individually, for me individually. We see our sins that are nailed to the cross, and He says, no, it's not cheap grace. It cost my blood. Sinless Lamb of God, paying for your sins and for mine. And people have a hard time understanding that. They have a hard time understanding and grasping the grace of God, that He loves us, that He desires good things for us. But listen, heaven, man, He's like, I want you here. Missing the point of His grace. God simply desires to bless us and love us. Listen, if you haven't received the grace of God, if you're punishing yourself for things in your past, receive the grace of God. If you repented, you repented. Don't let the enemy just beat you down. Don't let the enemy come and whisper to you, listen, you did this, you did that, you're not good enough. Yeah, you're not. Neither am I. But Jesus is. Receive the grace of God. Receive His love. Our part is simple. We repent. We look at the cross. We understand. Like, Lord, my sin is against You and You alone. Receive the grace. Verse 4. But the multitude of the city was divided, part sided with the Jews and part with the apostles. So part with the Jewish leadership and part with Paul and Barnabas with the missionary team. You guys know God's word separates. It divides. It's powerful. The Bible says it's sharper than any two-edged sword, piercing even to the division of soul and spirit. To the division of soul and spirit. That is laser sharp. God's word illuminates your soul and mind and reveals who you and I really are. God's word tells you you're a sinner. You're not perfect. Here's the mirror. You've broken all the commandments. You've broken them all. The word of God will show you that. But the grace of God comes in and says, it's okay, I love you. You can't do it on your own, so I did it for you. God's word tears down a person and then builds them back up. Listen, God's word has an effect on people. That person will go away different either way. And that person will be held responsible for what he heard. God's word tears down and then builds right back up. It's powerful. And right now it's divided a city. Take a look at verse 5. And when a violent attempt was made by both the Gentiles and Jews with rulers to abuse and stone them, they became aware of it and fled to Lystra and Derbe. So they're going deeper into Galatia now, cities of Laconia, into the surrounding regions. And they threw in the towel and said, forget it. And they were preaching the gospel there. God gave them wisdom and discernment, when to stay, when to go. Hey, we need to have God's wisdom and discernment as we share with others. Look, sometimes we just want to win an argument. Let's be honest with ourselves. Sometimes we start going, initially starts off well. We're like, yeah, let me tell you about Jesus and so forth. And all of a sudden it turns to this. What about that? And it turns into winning an argument and losing the person, and it's no longer about the gospel. And then sometimes there are those that, listen, they were just not here. They were just not listening. Their hearts are so hard and they're saying, I'm just not, I reject it. I reject that God of yours. Maybe you've had that happen to you. You have those that strongly oppose the word of God. Why? Nothing else you tell them bothers them as what you have told them about Jesus Christ. We need to have discernment. Jesus said in Matthew 7, 6, he says, do not give what is holy to the dogs, nor cast your pearls before swine, lest they trample them under their feet and turn and tear you in pieces. He says, you give the word of God, they're going to trample them on under their feet, and then they come at you. Have you experienced that? People coming at you because you're giving them the word of God, sharing the gospel. We need to have wisdom. One of the things that, and 10th Hour mentioned this when they were here, that group, that depending on how the conversation is going, and it may go all different directions. And listen, you know, it's just, the best way to witness is conversational. It's just loving on people, you know. But sometimes when we go out, and Lord willing, this coming year, doors will open up for that, and I can share that with you later. But when we go out and we share and we give the word of God to people, and it turns into this long, bad conversation, or just meaningless in a sense, because it comes this way and that way, and you're there. Listen, ask him a question. Ask him a simple question. If I could prove to you that Christianity is truth, would you repent and give your life to Jesus? It will show the heart of the individual right away. They'll say, no, I don't think I will, Carlos. And I say, okay, man, thank you. God bless you. See ya. So both groups turn on them. They made violent attempts to beat them and stone them. Listen, when they turn on you and they come at you violently and so forth, that's a clue. That's a clue. You're out there witnessing in Portland or wherever. That's a clue. We may want to leave at that point. So what do? They go to Lystra. But one point I want to make here is that they weren't discouraged. Listen, guys, when they reject you for sharing the gospel, they're not rejecting you personally. They're rejecting Jesus in you. They're rejecting God in you. Don't be discouraged. Well, we just continue trekking on. And we continue with joy and say, man, we got this marvelous news for people. They weren't discouraged. The bad experience did not discourage them from sharing the gospel. They stayed the course. Stay the course, guys. Verse 8. We'll probably leave it here. And in Lystra, a certain man without strength in his feet was sitting, a crippled from his mother's womb. So here it is, a man that has been crippled from birth, who had never walked. This man heard Paul speaking. Paul, observing him intently and seeing that he had faith to be healed, said with a loud voice, stand up straight on your feet. And he leaped and walked. Now when the people saw what Paul had done, they raised their voices, saying in the Laconian language, praise Jesus. No, right? They didn't say that. What did they say? The gods have come down to us in the likeness of men. And Barnabas, they called Zeus, and Paul Hermes, because he was the chief speaker. And then the priest of Zeus, whose temple was in front of their city, brought oxen and garlands to the gates, intending to sacrifice with the multitudes. The people see Paul and what God does through him. What do? They want to elevate people. They say, man, that's a movie star right there. Man, that's the guy. That football player, man, The artist, that's the guy. Let's worship him. Didn't the world do that? Elevate men? God has given us gifts and callings. They're gifts, talents, things of that nature that he has given us. And here they are. And what do they say? Hey, Zeus has come back. He took the body of a man. And Hermes has come back. I can't spoke. They're back here. Look at what they're doing. Oh, we need to sacrifice to them. Another point that I want to make, that it's interesting in every culture and every language around the world, there's an innate, there's an innate desire to sacrifice, to give a sacrifice for your sins, to make an atonement for your sins. You go to Hindus, or you go, whatever it is that you, wherever it is, there's an innate desire. Why? Because from the very beginning, what happened? When Cain killed Abel, what happened? There was a sacrifice. Blood needed to be shed, and there's an innate desire to do that, which is strange. People don't quite notice that sometimes in cultures. It's like, well, let me sacrifice this because I did this. I'm going to atone this way. We serve such an awesome God that he was the one that sacrificed for us. He says, your sacrifice, it's no good here. Your money's no good here. I will pay that price because that's a price that I can only pay. They assumed that it was the power of Paul that healed this man instead of the power of God. They attributed it to them. And they were speaking in the Lyconian language. So here are Barnabas and Paul, and they didn't quite understand what they're saying. But when they see the priest come out and they bring this oxen, they're like, barbecue, great. No. They say, no. Listen, you got it wrong. You got it wrong. They understood what was going on. They were trying to elevate them. They bypassed the message and decided to worship the messenger. And look, we're messengers, guys. The message of Jesus Christ is what's important. Jesus is who is important. All the glory belongs to him and him alone. And you and I'm just a delivery boy. So here you go. This is what God's word says. So Paul tried to stop him. But when the apostle Barnabas and Paul heard this, they tore their clothes. Now this is a form of saying, hey, this is wrong. This is repentance. This is like, man, this is what's transpiring inside of them. They're being torn inside. So they do this to get this point across, and they ran in among the multitudes crying and saying, men, why are you doing these things? We also are men with the same nature as you, and preach to you that you should turn from these useless things to the living God. Hey, listen, maybe this is a message for someone here today, to turn from the useless things. Those things that bring destruction, to have no profit, no nothing, and to return to the living God who made the heaven, the earth, the sea, and all things that are in them, who in bygone generations allowed all nations to walk in their own ways. Nevertheless, he did not leave himself without witness, in that he did good. Isn't God good, guys? Man, God is good. Gave us rain from heaven and fruitful seasons. He rains on the just and on the unjust alike, filling our hearts with food and gladness. And with these sayings, they could scarcely restrain the multitude from sacrificing to them. The people didn't understand. They had a God for every season, for every occasion, for everything. And Barnabas says, And Paul says, listen, no, that's wrong. There's only one God, one living God, and he created all things, everything, including you. That's who you worship. Then the Jews from Antioch and Iconium came there. Well, that's this is like, if you picture this in your mind in a movie, it's like here they go, they've gone over, they left this place, they were chased out. But the Jews were not satisfied. They're following them. And now they follow them to a new city. Boy, that's the enemy. That's the enemy that's saying, you know what? I don't want you here, and I don't want you anywhere else either. So they make that trek over. And what happens? It says that having persuaded the multitudes, they stoned Paul and dragged him out of the city, supposing him to be dead. However, when the disciples gathered around him, he rose up and went into the city. And the next day, he departed with Barnabas to Derbe. Paul is stoned. He's dragged out of the city and left for dead. Picture this with me. And all of a sudden, he goes, boop, sits right back up. Leave him for dead. And he comes right back up. He sits right back up. And what does he do? What does he do? He heads right back into town to those guys that stoned him, to those that rejected him. How do you stop a guy like that? That is perseverance. Goes right back in. Things seem pretty bad for Paul. Listen, he was knocked down, but he didn't stay down. Jingle bells. That's good. Goes right with it. Paul was knocked down, but listen, he didn't stay down. He didn't stay down. And in the life of a believer, there are those times where you'll be knocked down. There'll be those times, but listen, you're going to be laid flat and you're thinking, man, don't get comfortable there. You're not meant to stay down. God has created you to persevere. The Bible says that we're more than conquerors in Jesus Christ and Him who loves us. As Christians, we will have those times in our lives where we get knocked down. But listen, we're not out. We look to the Lord. If you're in that place right now, don't quit. Don't get comfortable in that place. That's what the enemy wants to do. Leave you for dead. That person is no longer a threat in any which way. If you're in that place right now, don't quit. Stay the course. It's temporary. When David found himself in that spot, he gone out to war, he comes back to Ziklag, and his family is taken, and you know, they had come and raided, taken everything, and even his men now are turning on him. What does he do? You know, it says, man, he was down and out. But the Bible says, and he strengthened himself in the Lord. He strengthened himself in the Lord. As Christians, we may get knocked down, but we're not meant to stay down. Ecclesiastes, King Solomon writes, he says, to everything there's a season, a time for every purpose under heaven. And he goes on and says, hey, there's a time to be born, a time to die, a time to rejoice, and a time to weep, and so forth. We go through seasons in our lives, but we never go through them alone. Jesus is always with us. Don't stay down. Don't stay in that place. That's where Satan wants you. Depression, anxiety, confusion, sin. You may stumble. You may have sinned. The Bible says that God's mercies are new every day. And the reason why it says that is because God knows that we need his mercy every day. Amen? Will you pray with me? Father, we just thank you. Lord, you are so good to us. You are so gracious. Lord, you love us, and Lord, you've equipped us, and you've called us. Lord, we have a message for the world, a message. Lord, may we be always other-centered, Jesus-minded. May we always have our eyes upon you. Lord, may we keep the main thing the main thing. And Lord, and I pray if there's someone here that has not given their life to Jesus Christ, that Lord, maybe they have visited and they have heard or they've walked. And if there's someone here that has not made a commitment to you, that they would not allow this day to pass them by. That today would be the day that they say, yes, Lord, I'm a sinner and I receive your gift of salvation. And from this day on, I want to follow you. I want to be a disciple. I'm no longer a fan. Somebody that thinks that you're a good guy, that you're a good teacher, because that's not what you are. You're a God Almighty. So, Lord, I just pray, may you work in the hearts of your people. Listen, if you're here today, as we're in an attitude of prayer, and you haven't given your life to Jesus Christ, don't let this day pass you by. So you can come on up. We'll be happy to pray with you. You can pray there next with someone because you got to confess that Jesus is Lord. Just don't put it off. Our Lord loves you. He desires a relationship with you. Thank you, Lord. In your name we pray. Amen. And before